You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, thanks for switching on your listening device to listen to another episode of Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture news show. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
It's a me, Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
Hey everybody, thank you all for tuning in. We have a great show for you. We have a whole bunch of news, including a ton of Nintendo Switch related
news,
I guess. But first,
content.
But first, let's get into some things we've been checking out.
We got two Netflix originals we've checked out recently. Should we start with the good one or the okay one? Let's get the OA out of the way first. We've watched about, I don't know, four or five episodes of the OA, which I've heard from people that it's either the greatest thing ever or the worst thing ever.
I've heard it's just weird.
I have not heard a single thing about this. What is this show?
It's a show about a girl who vanished. A blind girl who vanished and then comes back. They find her.
Several years later, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, as an adult. She comes back as basically an adult with her sight back.
Oh.
And it basically slowly goes through her retelling her story to five people that live in her neighborhood. For some reason, we haven't gotten to Y5, but it's just all right.
Okay. Is it supernatural in any way, or is it just like she just kind of disappeared and now she's back and things happened?
It probably is.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of... she's had a near-death experience, and like, I don't know, she like talks to... Is that God?
I think so.
Talks to maybe God, who during this near-death experience says, you can come back, but I'm going to take your sight. And that's how she becomes blind.
Huh.
And it's hard to describe. It is really difficult to describe, especially without spoiling it.
Wait, she was blind as a kid and then came back with sight? Or was she blind?
She got blinded by the near-death experience.
As a kid.
As a kid. Oh, okay.
And then after she disappears, she comes back home with sight.
All right.
Like, she doesn't even recognize her adoptive mom at first until she touches her face, which is kind of an interesting thing. Like, I'd never considered that
before.
Yeah,
I guess that would make sense. Huh. That just sounds okay.
It just is okay. Like, the only thing that keeps me watching is that you just kind of want to know what happens because it leaves so much up in the air.
Mm.
It's a mystery. It's we're just like, okay, I need to know what's going on, even if it's not that great.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not entirely invested, I kind of want to see where it goes.
It sounds like one of those shows that's going to pay off really well. But you just kind of have to...
Which I've heard the ending is terrible.
Oh, or I guess that's the other way it could go, is that it would just kind of totally wreck it.
I kind of want to know just how
terrible
it is.
Yeah. What if it's aliens? What if it's secretly aliens all along?
My theory is that they're angels, which is super lame. I'm not a huge fan of angel-based content. They're angels. It's glorious. Like the Netflix box art for it, like the A is coming out of her back like wings.
Oh, then
like,
yeah, it's angels. It's angels.
Like they have a near-death experience and come back as angels is my guess. I could be way off base. I don't know.
What if she thinks it's angels, but they're actually alien bird-like aliens? Like avian aliens?
So they're Thermagarians?
Yeah.
Bird persons,
yes.
Oh.
That would be better than just regular angels.
Yeah, what if it's a secret tie-in to Rick and Morty, is what I'm saying.
Look out, somebody just says squanch.
I mean, it's just all right. And then the other show we've watched, which is fantastic, is the new series of Unfortunate Events.
I've heard that's really good. I've been meaning to dig
it
into
is,
that.
It is very, very good.
Cool.
I've never read the books, but I watched that movie. And
The Nickelodeon movie that is...
With Jim Carrey.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good movie.
The movie's good, sure.
It doesn't follow the books all that great.
Well, it meshes the first three books together, I think, is what it did.
Yeah.
Because I never read the books, but my sister was and is a huge fan of that series. She read every single one, like, multiple times, all the way through.
The books are good. I've read most of them.
Mm-hmm. And it's a series I've been meaning to read, and it's now that the Netflix series is out, I've been meaning to check that out for sure.
It is very, very funny.
How is Neil Patrick Harris as Count Olaf?
Excellent.
I like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really hams it up, but that's, you know, that
kind
fits the character. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I always am a little worried about is how child actors do. How are the kids in it? Because a lot of the shows like Heart and a lot of the books Heart and a lot of like the goofy things, especially with the baby, kind of rest on their shoulders. How do they do in it?
They're fine. I mean, the Baudelaires don't emote much anyway.
Well, yeah.
So it's kind of like these horrible things just happen to them for no reason, and they don't really react to it.
Yeah, true.
I mean, they're perfectly serviceable. I mean, I wouldn't say they're great, mm-hmm. but they don't hold the show back any.
Gotcha.
They're not the worst.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good at least.
The baby's pretty funny.
Cool.
I think Tara Strong might be the voice of the baby.
Oh, really? Oh, that kind of makes sense.
Well, like the baby noises, because
yeah.
she doesn't talk.
Just
right.
kind of squeals.
Yeah, and then there's subtitles that translate her baby sound.
Gotcha.
One of my favorite things about it is Patrick Warburton plays Lemony Snicket.
I was going to ask. I thought I heard that.
And he plays like a Rod Sterling kind of.
Oh, that's cool.
Like kind of roll in the Twilight Zone.
That's fitting. That's actually really, really cool.
Throughout the whole episodes, too, he just kind of comes in.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And Warburton's it up.
He's pretty deadpan, actually, which, I mean.
That adds the humor.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
cool.
Like, you shouldn't watch this.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
They're constantly telling you, you know, don't watch the show. It's depressing.
Well, just like the books.
Yeah.
They're constantly telling you, stop, don't read this book because it'll make you sad.
Like the theme song is literally, look away, look away. The show will ruin your, what's it? It's not day, your evening, I think.
Yeah.
It's a shame it's not day because that rhymes.
Neil Patrick Harris sings the theme song too.
Oh, he does.
And the theme song changes throughout the series on different episodes.
Oh, that's cool. I like it when he like gets musical roles because he's very, you know, he's very good at that. I actually heard he might be popping up as the music master or music meister in the Flash and Supergirl cross.
I read an article that said, yeah,
musical episodes,
which should be very good,
because both of the actors in Supergirl and Flash were both on Glee. I only know that because of work, believe it or not.
Ex-Gleesters.
Yeah, so they both can sing, so that's actually going to be cool. But cool, I'm glad that show's good. I've been meaning to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, if you're between the OA and Series of Unfortunate Events, go for Series of Unfortunate Events.
Gotcha.
Even though I guess it's probably technically a kid's show, you wouldn't know it.
It's a family show.
Yeah, it doesn't talk down to you at all. Well, they define words a lot, but that's kind of the gimmick of the series.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I mean, they kind of mix it in with the humor of it, though, too.
Yeah.
So, like, we know what perished means.
I like that there's a point where Klaus is reading a book about nuptial law because of the scheme that Count Olaf is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And Count Olaf is watching him from a distance in a telescope and has to look up the word nuptial in a dictionary to know what it means.
That's good.
But yeah, cool. It's excellent.
Cool.
And I've put a lot of time recently into Yakuza 0.
Oh, very cool.
The latest Yakuza game in the Yakuza series from Sega.
Right, but it's like the beginning, right? It's like a prequel, kind of?
Yeah. Yep, yeah. It's a prequel to the whole series. It takes place back in the 80s during the economic bubble economy in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bunch of money going around. And, well, the Yakuza is basically Japanese gangsters.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
And you play as a Japanese gangster going around beating people up. And it's just so much, they put so much into making this world feel like 1980s Japan, like you're in 1980s Japan. I mean.
Oh, very cool.
It's kind of like, kind of Grand Theft Auto-y, mm-hmm. except without being so negative and sarcastic. It's a lot like Grand Theft Auto, except if you replace guns with punching.
Okay.
And just that crappy attitude with goofiness. So it's very much up my alley.
No, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the story is really good. Just about there's two different playable characters, and they each kind of have their own problems with the Yakuza
mm-hmm.
that they have to solve, and it twists and turns. A lot of stuff happens.
Oh, okay.
And there's actually a lot of cliffhangers between chapters. You'll be playing as one character and something will happen and it'll cut to the other one.
Oh, okay.
So
wow.
It really keeps you guessing. The beat-em-up gameplay is fun. It's very much like a logical next step of if you ever played River City Ransom.
I have, yeah.
It's a lot like that, like a modern day take on that game, really.
Mm. So you can just pick up stuff and beat people with
it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely part of the game. Like you can pick up traffic cones, bicycles.
Nice.
You ever been so mad you hit somebody with a bike?
A motorcycle, if you're in the... There's, each character has different fighting styles they can learn.
Mm-hmm.
One of them can learn breaker style, which is breakdance fighting.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Which is almost a little OP.
Really?
Like, you can get that whirlwind kick going and just wreck guys.
Oh, awesome.
But yeah, I love picking up objects and using those in the fight. That's fun.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like when I was playing Sleeping Dogs, you could do a lot of, like, environmental, like, attacks and whatnot, and...
You can pick up a hot tea kettle off the surroundings and dump the boiling hot water in their face.
Oh, that's great. Ooh.
Or find a salt shaker and dump that in their eyeball.
That's assault.
You see, that's what I like about these kind of games. Games that aren't afraid to be goofy.
Yeah, and it definitely is not afraid to be goofy.
Yeah, just because it's a crime game, it doesn't have to be all super serious and, you know, hard. And
yeah. And there's tons of side stories where you're just helping people out in the neighborhoods, and they get super goofy and weird. There's one where there's a punk band mm-hmm. that is actually a bunch of really nice guys that don't know how to act tough, and you have to teach them how to be tough guys for their fan Q&A that's coming up, and you just basically answer multiple choice questions on what would make them seem the toughest.
Gotcha. Okay.
But it's a fun little like thing that you can do in the middle of the game. And there's another one where you're helping at a TV shoot for a restaurant mm-hmm. show. Their producer, it didn't show up, so you had to help them out. And they tell you to do things using, like, showbiz slang, and you have to figure out what they're telling you to do.
Oh, wow.
Like, hand me the erasable, and that means the prop that they're going to, the food. Like, what they're going to eat, so it'll be gone after the take.
Gotcha.
And you walk over to a table, and there's a salad, an eraser, and a knife, and you have to pick which one you think they're talking about. Like, there's just tons of side stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool. It sounds very tonally like Watch Dogs 2, kind of lighter and kind of just goofy for the sake of goofy sometimes.
Yeah, but cool. The actual story itself is actually a serious Yakuza story.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Which is actually very good.
Cool.
That's why I liked Saints Row 3 so much.
Oh, I love Saints Row 3.
Because it was so weird and dumb.
And just over the top hilarious. That's one of the funniest video games, I think. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's legitimately like funny because the gameplay is funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, it's basically a Grand Theft Auto game, but with just... I mean, come on. One of the voice packs you could pick when you're making a character is Zombie, and he just goes blah, 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 all the time.
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
But Yakuza 0 comes out, the night should be out the day this airs.
Actually, it would have been out yesterday.
Oh, it was out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. I mean, I approve.
Yeah.
It's got my seal of approval. I've absolutely loved my time.
Your
with
face
it.
is on the package with a big thumbs up going, yeah. Yep.
This is good. It's I know it's only January, but it's my favorite game of the year that I've played so far.
I like it very much. Well, cool. I just have a couple of real quick check it outs. I went on kind of a weird old cartoon like rabbit hole on YouTube the other night and rewatched a couple episodes of the old Mega Man cartoon. You guys remember that? Man.
The Ruby Spears Mega Man?
Yeah.
I used to watch that all the time.
Yeah.
The
Super Fighting Robot?
Mega Man. Yeah. If only the show itself was as hype and as slick looking as that intro. That intro is like pristine.
Yeah.
Like the animation is on point. It looks really good, really
detailed.
They
blew their budget on that.
And then you get to the cartoon and it just looks like it looks like a Ruby Spears cartoon. It looks pretty chintzy and cheap. The backstory on a lot of the characters and stuff is not correct. And there's like a scene, like I watched the first couple episodes and then I jumped ahead to the one with Mega Man X. We'll get to the one with X here in a sec. But the first episode like sets up, like they tell like the origin of Dr. Light and Dr. Wily and everything in a flashback. And at one point, Dr. Light's going, here are my new robots. This is Cutman. He's a logging robot. And this is Gutsman. He's a construction robot with super strength. And here's Iceman. He can freeze things. Like, what practical purpose does Iceman have other than to be a supervillain in a parka?
He's an ice machine. He's supposed to walk around hotels.
That's
and,
what it is.
And he knocks on people's doors like, you need some ice?
He works in the frozen foods department of supermarkets.
Yeah. But I remember being really enamored with the way that they explained him stealing everyone's powers, like in the game, but instead of like totally destroying the robots, he would just touch their arm and gain their ability. And because they were all robots, they were actually able to show like on-screen violence between.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were actually able to like blow holes through people and stuff like that. What I forgot was Mega Man announced his attacks every single time. And like every time he touched one of the Robot Master's arms, he'd go, "Now I have your power. Now I can do what you can do. No, I can throw bombs like Bomb Man." It's like, come on, relax. And then near the end, the show only ran 36 episodes.
That's kind of a lot.
That's kind of a lot, yeah. And they're 34 minutes. They're 24 minutes. I forgot it was before the increase in commercials. Because there for the longest time, it was 24 minutes with 6 minutes of commercials. It dropped back to 21 minutes, and now I think it's at 19 and a half.
Jeez.
Yeah, anyway.
That's like the Justice League Action 1 hour special is actually 44 minutes long.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, they cut to the end of the series. They had an episode with Mega Man X, who came in from the future, and his personality and backstory and everything is like way wrong. Like X's whole thing was like, I'm going to stop these Mavericks no matter what, and just like is blowing up, like does not care about collateral damage. That was like the main lesson he had to learn, although they kind of dropped that lesson halfway into the show. And for some reason, Spark Mandrill from the X Games sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Of course.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, sure, okay. And the anime, the way that those characters are animated compared to the standard characters is so like jarringly off model. Like they're head and shoulders taller than even the human characters, and like they are like super like detailed and just weird and again off model.
Yeah, I remember. I remember that. I think the X episode was like my favorite episode of the whole series.
That's what everyone says, but go back and watch it. It's not very good. They go to the same dam 3 times to try to flood the dam so that they could steal metal from a power plant.
Copper?
You know, Litanium is what it was. Dr. Light's own special metal. Not great. Not
well,
great.
Like the X characters have a much more set look to them because because it was 16-bit, their graphics were better. They had more to work with.
Yeah, didn't have to guess like with Mega Man and his characters. Then I was reading up on Mega Man and saw that a lot of the background sound effects and incidental music was reused and repurposed for Monster Rancher, which was a Fox cartoon. So I thought, oh man, okay, I gotta check this out. So I remembered watching Monster Rancher very briefly.
Yeah,
in the late 90s.
Yeah, it was on like an early morning.
It was a Saturday morning cartoon on Fox. Yeah, and that show is convoluted. It's to look at it, you would think it's a Pokemon like clone,
which in a way, kind of the cartoon was.
The game wasn't. It was more of a life sim.
Yeah.
You were like farming and like breeding different animals.
It was like those Japanese horse racing games.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, but with fighting monsters.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the mechanic on the game was cool because you would pop in any CD, like any actual like music CD or DVD that you had, and it would read like some of the header data off of it, and that's how it would generate.
Yep, I remember all that.
Monsters. I never played the games. I just watched the cartoon.
Oh, I did. At one point, my room was just littered in discs from trying just like every CD in my house.
Oh, that's awesome. If I had that game, I probably would have done the same thing. But the show is confusing, and the main character is completely unlikable. He's like a little hyperactive kid who does not stop talking. And screaming.
And screaming.
Whoa! Monsters! Oh my gosh! Ah! For 21 minutes. It was a nightmare to sit through, but I did.
Don't watch anime then.
Yeah, no, no.
Because there's a lot of anime characters like that.
Oh, I get it, but yeah.
Monster Hunter just at its core is weird.
It's Monster like, Rancher.
Or Monster Rancher. What did I say? Monster Hunter. I meant Monster Rancher.
Yeah.
Because you get, like, Pokemon. Here's our mascot. It's Pikachu. He's adorable. Digimon, here's our mascot. He's a cool dinosaur guy. A Monster Rancher, hey, we got this eyeball.
With an eyeball with a tail.
Yeah.
And a mouth.
Check out this cool eyeball, guys.
It's Mike Wazowski, but with less appendages. Yeah. So, and his name was Swayzo.
Yeah.
Very weird. Very weird show, very weird game. That's about all I've been checking out of note.
That is a weird rabbit hole to crawl down.
It was weird. It was way early in the morning, too, so.
Yeah. I like you said, talking about like Saturday morning cartoons, and I'm like thinking about like all the garbage cartoons I used to watch.
There were some of the there were bad. I mean, we all remember the good ones.
Oh yeah, but I also remember there really was some bad ones.
So there was some just awful. Like
there was a time when Fox Kids was mostly anime.
I remember that. Yeah,
there was like, oh god, you see the Iron Man cartoon.
Oh yeah, the Iron Man cartoon, that was actually okay. It had the West Coast Avengers in it.
Most of the Marvel cartoons were okay.
Yeah, they were all right.
I mean, yeah, they couldn't be Spider-Man or X-Men.
Well, the Fantastic Four cartoon wasn't good.
Ugh.
That was like bottom of the barrel, kind of.
And Captain America never got made.
Yeah, they were working on it, but it never got done. Oh, man, what were some of the bad ones?
He gets a mention in the X-Men cartoon.
He does. He has a whole episode.
Well, let's see here. I remember the Mega Man cartoon because it was the one that aired at the end of the line.
Yeah.
Like, it was the one that was, like, at noon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're already asleep in your cereal bowl by the time Mega Man comes on.
Yeah.
It's probably why I liked it so much. I don't remember it. Jeez. There was a lot of anime.
Fighting Foodons.
Oh, Fighting Foodons was weird. Yeah.
It was like chef kids that would cook meals that turn into fighting monsters.
Yeah.
God, what was up with the 90s and fighting monsters?
Pokemon. That's when Pokemon was the biggest thing in the world.
100% Pokemon. Ultimate Muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a weird one. I always liked the premise of...
Flint the Time Detective.
No, God. What was it? It was the one where they were they had ghosts and like weapons, and they would fight with the ghosts and their weapons.
Ghostbusters.
Shaman King.
Shaman King.
That's it. But no, I always liked the premise of that show, but the execution left much to be desired.
Well, the Shonen Jump comic was really, really good for Shaman King.
Know.
Yeah, I know.
I never watched Shaman King. I don't know that one.
Yep, I like Shaman King. But that was like later. I was like a little older.
Yeah.
When that came out.
Yeah, most of the stuff I was like in early high school for this particular Fox Kids block.
Yeah, I see. Again, I didn't watch a whole lot of it at that point either. But
like, I remember Fox Kids had like the Power Rangers, and it had the Ninja Turtles live action, the Next Mutation or whatever.
Well, Fox Kids did Saturday morning, but there was also like after school block.
Yeah, because that had like Susie something. I remember she was like the only host, and then she left the broadcast.
There was local hosts for
there
that
was.
One.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
Her name was Susie. I don't remember her last name, but I remember she got pregnant and then
left the show.
And then we had two younger, like older kids that were the hosts. Because I remember those stupid sweaters that said Fox Kids.
Yes.
That sticks out of my head.
Mm-hmm. I remember that too.
Pirates of Dark Water was on.
Dude, Pirates of Dark Water.
That was a good one.
And Street Sharks.
Street Sharks.
I own
Jawsome.
I own all of Street Sharks.
I only had the villain. I had the arch nemesis with
Dr. Piranha?
Mm-hmm. And he had the button on the back of his head. Flipped his head to a piranha. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of the toys. I including had like one of the big rubber hand puppets.
Oh man. Have you seen the Vin Diesel
toy demo video?
Oh, that's great. He was, man, he loved those Street Sharks. He was way into it.
There's a YouTube video that it's way back in the day, Vin Diesel as a toy demoer. Demoing the Street Sharks toys.
Oh, he is hyped for it.
Yeah, look it up on YouTube. It's pretty good.
It's great.
But I remember I remember the teeth on that puppet being actually kind of sharp. Like, you don't want to stick your arm in there. Are you okay?
I hiccuped in the middle of a laugh. It was really horrible sounding.
I thought you were going to get sick.
No.
Oh, God. Street Sharks.
Professional show we're running here.
Yeah.
one of the best toys of that line was Big Slamu.
Oh yeah.
He was the orca.
Uh-huh.
And it had like the big tongue.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And he also could fill his head with water, and you could squirt water out of his blowhole.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm surprised they could get away with Slamu.
Yeah.
Like legally.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Now there is no such thing.
That's right.
Shamu.
That's right. Yeah,
yep.
Which is good.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I thought his name was Moby Lick.
That's a much better name.
Yeah.
I just like that name a lot.
Actually, maybe it was Moby Lick.
No, it was Slamu. I remember.
I don't remember what the Whale Shark Brothers' name was.
I don't remember.
Because I remember there were four brothers, and they were all really into sports. And I remember the Whale Shark was really into football.
Yeah, that's right.
And there was Blades, who was rollerblading.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I don't remember the Hammerhead's name. God, I haven't watched it in forever.
We have talked about Street Sharks way longer. Yeah. Way longer than anyone should.
What other cartoons we had back then? The Beetlejuice cartoon.
Yeah, Beetlejuice was good.
I love that. That was one of my favorites when I was mm-hmm. a little kid.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's a lot of puns. Mm-hmm. If you go back and watch it now, it's mostly just puns.
Yeah. Do you remember Ultra Force?
Maybe.
Based on the Ultra Comics characters with Prime, the little kid that was basically Shazam, but instead of lightning, it's like slime.
No.
No, maybe I don't remember that.
Okay.
That's a good idea, though. Kids love slime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he would, like, cover himself in, like, ectoplasm, and he would create, like, a giant, like, grown-up man shell over top of him that gave him fight and super strength.
That's gross.
Yeah, that it's not weird. Great, but it was not, it was extreme and 90s.
Do you remember King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table?
Oh, yeah.
Vaguely.
Defenders of the... Yeah.
Defenders of Camelot or whatever.
Uh-huh, whatever it was.
Yeah, they were like football players from the...
Techno Knights.
Yeah. And they went to Camelot as like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cyber Knights basically.
Yeah.
Those toys were stupid.
Oh, they were stupid, but they were great.
They were like Ronin Warrior-esque.
Mm-hmm. The Creepy Crawlers action figures. And there was a cartoon based around the action figures of Creepy Crawlers.
Oh, Lord, I do not remember that. I'm glad I don't.
Oh, the designs are ridiculous.
They're nuts.
They're ridiculous.
I'm glad I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad we're talking about this because I really have like zero check it out.
That's cool. Yeah, let's talk about this for another minute or two because that'll fill our time.
Project Geeker.
Project Geeker, yeah. That was actually, believe it or not, Project Geeker is tied canonically into the Batman the Animated Series.
Really?
Yes, because Geeker is set in is the same future as Batman Beyond.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I don't know that either.
Project Geeker shares a couple of cast members with Batman Beyond.
Huh.
And he was a proto Philip Fry because it's Billy West doing the voice of a red-haired person, and it's the same. It's Fry's voice. He's doing Fry and Geeker.
Hmm. Isn't the female lead also have purple hair?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of early Futurama.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember a lot about that show, but I remember
it
really liking it.
It ran like 12 episodes. Yeah, I never ran very long.
I don't remember it at all.
Yeah.
I remember really liking it, though.
I remember when Static Shock crossed over with Justice League.
Yeah. You know, I only caught Static Shock in rerun. I never watched it when it was new.
I did.
You did?
Yep. I watched it when it was on. I watched a lot of the WB.
Mm. See, I didn't watch a ton of it.
Mostly for Batman.
We didn't get the WB.
Yeah, I remember trying the WB and it was cool for a while. Watched a lot of Pinky and the Brain.
Oh yeah,
but then
Animaniacs.
But then they did the Lunatics Unleashed, and I was like, no, thank you. This channel is dead to me.
Man, that was real dumb.
Yeah, could barely get the WB over antenna because we had satellite.
Oh yeah,
so couldn't get it, which really hurt my ability to watch Pokemon.
Well, yeah.
I remember playing with the antenna early mornings trying to pick up that Pokemon thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I need it. I need my Pika fix.
All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we get back, we'll get in some news.
Woo.
Hey, we're back. That was Switch by Will Smith. Remember that? Remember Will Smith? He used to sing?
Back when he would write a corny rap to go with every movie he was in.
Yeah. I like this song where it was all about keeping the club PG. If you listen to the lyrics, it's all about saying, hey, girls, you don't have to grind up on me. Let's keep this family friendly, yo.
Respect yourself.
Yeah.
They should have let him write a song for Suicide Squad.
They really should have.
They really missed the boat on that one.
Yeah.
Like a lot of things.
It would have been better than that stupid song that's in it.
Oh, the one from the band that's from Columbus. The raps.
Yes.
With the raps and the rhymes.
Yes.
21 Pilots.
21 Pilots. Yes. That's it.
There's actually only two guys in that.
Yeah.
There's not 21.
That is misleading.
Yeah, I was very misled.
Yes. Yes.
Should have called themselves two pilots, but whatever.
Pilot and co-pilot.
I bet they don't even have a pilot's license.
I bet they don't. So why do we play a Good Times Will Smith rap?
Because it's Good Times Nintendo news with the Nintendo Switch, their latest console.
That's right, yeah. We had a couple of guesses last week because we recorded before the Switch
reveal.
Press release reveal, whatever. Press conference.
Yeah.
Media extravaganza.
I guess.
Kinda.
Extended treehouse.
Did you see any crowd shots during their like big presser thing? It wasn't like fans or anything. It was a lot of Japanese men in business suits.
Much like their presenters.
Yes. All of their presenters. There was almost no. I mean, it was kind of fun. They were trying.
Yeah, Nintendo never is like not fun about their press releases.
It made me miss Iwata.
Oh yeah,
a lot.
Oh, really?
Because that guy was just brimming with personality.
He loved doing it.
Mm-hmm. Their president now looks like if you looked up stereotypical Japanese businessman in a dictionary, there'd be a picture.
It would
of
be
him.
A picture of him. Yeah, yeah. So what did Games Grandpa tell us about the Switch?
Well, they revealed the price and release date, and we were off on the price by about $50.
$50.
$300. Mm-hmm. And we were wrong on the date. We thought mid to late March. It was actually March 3rd.
So within 6 weeks. Well, less than that now. But
oh, don't tell me that.
I know, right? It was a surprise. It was a shock. I was really banking on it being $250, and I was really banking on it not being done for at least 2 months.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I mean, that's, you know, whatever.
I mean, $300 is still reasonable for a new video game.
It's reasonable. At the time, it seemed a lot more reasonable. Now that we've kind of cooled on it a little bit.
The hype has died down a little bit.
Yeah, and some things have started to kind of present themselves. It's maybe a little less of...
Yeah.
The coolest thing.
As more news comes out, it kind of sours the experience a little.
Just a touch, but you gotta admit, at the time, it was like, yes, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
So for folks at home who aren't quite sure what we're talking about, what is the Switch? What's the big deal? Why is this different than the Wii U?
It's a fully portable, also home system. It's almost like a tablet, like with buttons and a stick on it. That you can put in a dock connected to your TV and then continue playing on your TV.
Right, and it up-reses everything.
Yeah.
And makes it nice and fancy.
And the controllers on the side of the tablet come off to, you know, you turn
form
into
a super controller.
Yeah.
Or you can use each side as player one and player two for mini games.
Yeah,
and
so you can break into multiplayer anywhere
because
the tablet also has a little kickstand on it.
So yep.
they were saying it has three modes, on TV, tabletop, which is holding up with the kickstand, and then portable, which is with the controllers in the side, which they're calling
Joy-Cons.
Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
And kind of like the Wii U gamepad looking device.
Yeah. It's a really slick design. I like it a way, way, way better than their last couple of systems.
Yeah.
I think
it's so much more adult, cool gadget looking.
Yes. I've seen pictures of the portable version of the Switch next to like the gamepad from the Wii U, and boy oh boy does it make that gamepad look like a Fisher-Price toy.
Yeah, it looks like Fisher-Price iPad Wii U gamepad
it was,
always looked and felt like.
Yeah. So all this stuff about the system is all well and good, but a system is only good as the games that come with it. What were some of the games that were announced? Let's start with the ones that were announced at the press conference.
For one, no game comes with it, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a real bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Wii and the Wii U came with...
The Wii U didn't come with
it. Oh, it didn't come with any games?
No, not when it first came out.
Oh, that's true. Okay. But yeah, it's kind of weird that it's just not having...
Wait, no, I take that back. If you got the deluxe set, you got Nintendo Land. If you got the basic set, you got nothing.
Gotcha. Okay.
For the Wii U.
And there's no deluxe set with this.
Nope, just one.
Yeah, and that's kind of interesting. But what kind of games were announced during the press conference?
The first one they announced was called 1-2 Switch. And it's a weird game that uses the two Joy-Cons to play games that don't involve using the screen.
Right, yeah, because the two Joy-Cons have what they call, like, HD motion sensor or something like that.
Rumble.
HD rumble.
Yeah, and I guess the way they described it is you could feel the difference between... If it's like you're holding a glass and you can feel the difference between dropping 1, 2, and 3 ice cubes. That's how precise it is. And every report I've seen from like live demos have said that it's like that. Very, very precise.
Apparently 1-2 Switch has a mini game where you guess how many marbles are in a box
yeah
by shaking your Joy-Con around and feeling it.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's something that you're going to have to experience before you even begin to get it, I think.
Sure,
yeah.
Yeah. And I guess there's a mini game where it 1-2-Switch, it's just a bunch of mini games. It's one-on-one. Yeah. It's like it's the ultimate party game, basically. But one of the games is a competitive cow milking. And from what I understand, the Joy-Con feels like an actual udder that you're milking. It has the same kind of resistance. So, yeah.
And there's a very Wild Gunman-esque Western draw game.
Yes.
There's one about catching samurai swords coming at you, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
And it's stuff like that, though, that honestly doesn't look very entertaining past 5 or 10 minutes.
Sure. It looks fun in a party setting, if you have a large group of people. But again, only for about 10 or 15 minutes. Yeah. But
it's a pizza night thing.
For us, yeah. but by yourself, there would be no reason to get this game.
I'm still really, really mad that it doesn't come with it.
Yeah, it really...
It seems like the kind of game
Wii Sports-esque.
Yes, yeah. Very much so.
Yeah, if it came with the system, I wouldn't criticize at all.
Yeah.
I'd be perfectly fine with it.
Yeah, I would be content. That'd be great.
But I think it's like a $40 launch title, which seems ridiculous.
Yeah, that's nuts. They went on from there and showed off ARMS, which is a new Nintendo first-party IP. It's a boxing game.
Yeah, but everyone has stretchy arms.
Everybody has stretchy arms, and you use the two... It showed in the trailer that you use the two Joy-Cons in each hand, like, and move them like you're boxing.
So kind of like the Wii Boxing on...
Yeah, it's Wii Boxing on steroids, basically.
Yeah.
But I guess it does have a mode where you can use just the straight-up controller, and that's good, too.
Yeah.
Not as much fun as, you know, flailing around. In like a party setting. But if you're just sitting at home trying to beat the game, you can just snap it in the controller and go.
And I've heard there's a lot more strategy to it than Wii Boxing, which...
Yes.
I forget who said it this way, but somebody described it as a way to make a child very, very tired very fast.
Yeah, and they're not wrong. but no, it looks like a lot of fun. The only thing, only criticism I have about it are the names of the characters.
Oh, they're boring.
They're super boring.
It's just Spring Man and Ribbon Girl.
And they could have gotten just a little more creative with that.
Yeah. I guess maybe they're going for a superhero thing, but
I guess
it doesn't fit. But it's a sports type game. Like in world, this looks like a sport that they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Punchy McPunchface.
It looks fun. It's not a launch title, which is weird.
I thought it was.
Mm-mm.
No,
it's
like a week out or something.
A couple weeks. A couple weeks or about a month or so. Oh god, there's no launch titles, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Other first party games that they did. They showed off Super Mario Odyssey.
Which doesn't come out till Christmas
time.
Yeah, holiday.
Yeah, which is another big misstep if you ask me.
Yeah, to not have a Mario game at least within the first couple months is insane.
Yeah, but it is...
It looks amazing.
It looks incredible.
I'll say that right now. Yeah, it looks like a great, great game. Mario 64 style where you got open world exploration. Mm-hmm.
Different worlds with different, like... settings
and look like they all look different.
Yeah, they all have a different art,
including
style.
Real world.
Yeah, there's
or as close to it.
There's a New York inspired New Donk City.
New Donk City,
which is, I guess, Donkey Kong
it's
is
Donkey
what they're
Kong.
Getting at.
Yeah,
yeah, because there's like a Diddy's Market and
there's
the corner of Cranky and Candy Street.
Yeah, there's Donkey Kong Country references just all over
everywhere. And normal humans?
Yeah, normal, regular-looking human beings standing next to Mario.
Tiny Mario. And that's weird.
Did you see where they modded Mario into...
Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah.
It's just slopping around.
It's a weird one. But it's weird seeing Mario interact with normal humans.
Normal-ish humans?
But no, they are very close to normal humans.
Yeah.
It's awfully close to... was it Sonic?
Sonic 06?
Yeah.
Where Sonic made out with a human girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, folks. That's in a video game. Yeah.
I think the comparison doesn't fit, though, because that is Sonic's world. This isn't Mario's world. This is obviously an alternate dimension. I think Odyssey is going to be a game.
By looks, it makes me feel like that, though, just by looking at it.
Well, yeah.
But I think this game is going to be about Mario traveling through different dimensions.
Yes.
So. You know, he's outside of his own world. His own world doesn't involve regular size humans.
That, and there's like, you know, there was like the food world, and there was some place that actually had staple Mario villains in it.
It's interesting. Looks like they're adding a new mechanic with his hat.
Yeah, something's going on with hats.
Yeah.
Because he can throw his hat, and they show him throwing his regular hat and then mm-hmm. jumping on it as a platform.
Yeah.
But they also, he's always, you always see in the background this crazy Caps
store. And like, at one point you see him walking into one.
Yeah, but they never reveal what's in there.
Yeah, probably because they don't know what's going to be in there yet.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And if you notice, a lot of the bad guys are wearing hats, almost all of them.
Yeah, so it's probably, that's his power-ups for the game. He'll probably have a fire hat that turns him into Fire Mario and
there's a Koopa Troopa that's wearing a chef's hat in the food world.
Ah, yeah. So that could very well be.
I think it's have spaghetti powers.
There we go. Yeah, let's get that stereotype right in there.
I'm really hoping New Donk City has a construction site with Donkey Kong on the top of it throwing barrels.
I hope he's a super realistic Donkey Kong to fit in with the super realistic world.
Like a real gorilla.
Uh-huh, just a real gorilla with a tie.
King Konging it up.
Hey, maybe this is where Mario met Pauline.
Maybe Pauline will be in it.
Yeah, that would be cool. Because Pauline was like way taller than Mario.
Oh, yeah.
They got into some third party... I'm trying to think down like the order that they did. They got into some third party stuff.
A lot of it was just them trucking out a third-party developer who comes out and says, I'm working on something.
We got a game. We got something.
We don't have anything to show you, but see, there we promised we're doing something.
Yeah, there was a CG trailer for Shin Megami Tensei...
Something.
5?
They didn't even say that. They just said SMT game.
Yeah, and that's a RPG
with
crazy detailed...
Weird monster
things.
But yokai.
Yeah, kind of.
The Christian God and Satan.
Yeah, yeah.
Skyrim.
Yeah, they're putting a port of Skyrim.
Yeah, Todd Howard came out with the end credits to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure behind him.
They wheeled out a drunk, a Suda 51.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Not only was Suda drunk, that translator was having a heck of a time following him. Like,
it's probably not the translator's fault.
It probably wasn't. It was 100% Suda. He was just gone.
And he was rambling.
Man. Yeah. But
he did announce a new No More Heroes, which I'm totally stoked about.
What was his name? Todd Touchdown or
Travis?
Travis Touchdown.
Todd Touchdown.
That's his accountant brother, Todd Touchdown. Yeah.
No More Heroes is a fantastic.
That's
series,
That's what I keep hearing. Yeah. So that's.
I never
exciting.
Played it.
It's really good. You should check it out.
I actually saw of all the third party games, I saw Twitter go nuts the most over that one.
Well, Suda makes good games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he
for
makes
the most part.
Memorable games.
Memorable games. Yeah, let's put it that way, for sure.
His last one, Let It Die, the free-to-play one for PlayStation 4, is really good. I like it a lot.
Oh, cool.
I played Lollipop Chainsaw.
That's a good game, too.
Yeah.
That was really goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically starring Jessica Negri.
Well, voiced by Tara Strong.
Well, yeah, but that's, yeah.
And her boyfriend, who's just a head.
A mm-hmm. decapitated head. Well, she did that to save his life because he got bit by a zombie.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. let's see. They announced, Splatoon 2.
Yeah.
Missed the boat by not calling it Splatoon.
That would have been a much better title.
I'll bet there was a long discussion.
I'm sure there was.
About that. Confuse like grandparents, because I get enough confused people at the store about video game titles. Like,
Between that and I bet it had something to do with the pun not working in Japanese.
Oh, yeah, probably. Which, Splatoon 2, great, cool.
I was thinking it was going to be just a port of the first game with added stuff, but this looks like a brand new, like, continuation.
Yeah, it doesn't look terribly different.
No, but it doesn't need to.
It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot more Marie. Yeah.
Marie is in the trailer, but not Callie.
Because they killed off Callie.
They killed her.
You think?
Yeah.
You think she's dead?
I'm not kidding. They killed her off. That last Splatfest where you're choosing which one is your favorite, the other one died. That's not a joke. I'm not making that up.
Feed her to the octopus?
The developer mentioned something about that. And if you look at the trailer, there is a scene of Marie all in black at like some kind of funerals type situation.
Really?
Something like that. Yeah, I heard something like that.
I bet she's not actually dead.
I bet she's not actually dead. I don't think they would do that in a kid's game, but like Marie takes like a much bigger, you know, role in it because she is everyone's favorite, apparently.
Not mine.
Yeah.
Well, I like Callie better.
Well, Marie all the way.
I still want a black and white squid battles.
Oh, black and white ink?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. They're not going to do that.
No, the whole point is the garish colors.
But yeah, I mean, that looks cool.
It looks cool.
Not a launch title.
No, unfortunately not.
It's not till the summertime.
Yeah. If you notice, there's kind of a running theme here where it's a lot of really cool titles that aren't launch titles that have at least 6 months of development time before they are released.
Which begs the question, during the year when there was barely any Wii U games, what the heck were they doing?
That's the million.
Coming up with a Switch, probably.
That's the million-dollar question. I couldn't tell you.
But hey, we're skipping over the biggest title, which is a launch title.
Oh, yeah. Breath of the Wild, Legend of Zelda.
They saved that till like the very end.
And they needed to. They needed to end on a high note.
Yeah.
And it looks amazing.
It looks really good.
Like open world, scaling mountains, like mm-hmm. by hand.
Voice acting.
Voice acting.
Which is going to get, I think it's, for me, it's weird.
I'm in.
Oh, I've been wanting this for the last two games.
I know. It's way more cartoony, like way more theatrical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cinematic, I guess I should say.
Is Link going to talk?
I hope he does.
No, he's not going to talk.
I hope he does. I hope he has the last line of the game, and it's something like, you know, Princess Zelda, truly we are the Breath of the Wild. The end.
He's not going to talk.
Puts on the sunglasses. Yeah!
Yeah. I think as long as they allow a player to input their own name, Link's not going to talk. If they hard lock it to him being named Link...
You almost said Zelda.
I did.
Rage.
Yeah. Well, you caught me. But the point still stands. As long as they allow you to input your own custom hero's name, he's not going to say anything.
Well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, there have been other games where you could input your own name and they work the script around it.
And then they just call you Senpai the whole time.
I understand that, but I don't think that they're going to do that for this. If they wanted to have voice acting, they're going to lock you into Link.
Which is fine.
That's fine. I mean, I've never been Link in my games.
Yeah, I always put my own name in.
No, I always make up the goofiest, like, stupid names.
I remember watching my dad play Ocarina of Time, and my dad's name is Barry. It was always kind of weird to sign Barry's house.
Barry, the hero of time.
The legend of Barry.
Yeah, it's okay. Mine was the legend of Cheesemo.
Cheesemo.
I was watching a lot of Cannibal the Musical when I played Ocarina of Time. Die, Cheesemo
Miners.
Yes.
But no, the game looks amazing.
Zelda 2, The Adventure of Barry.
Barry's Awakening.
Barry's Awakening, yeah.
Hi, Dad.
A Barry to the past. But yeah, Zelda looks fantastic.
It looks really good.
I mean, it's really selling me on the system. If that wasn't a launch title, I probably wouldn't get it. No, I'd still get it at launch.
And
but...
it's... Kind of cel shady, but not really. Like
the animation is very good.
It's very Miyazaki.
Yes.
Miyazaki esque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the worlds are lush and there's a lot of color.
Yeah.
Very Princess Mononoke.
Mm-hmm. With like maybe a little bit of like Castle in the Sky with the way like the robot monsters glow and stuff.
Yeah.
Or whatever they are.
We went and saw Princess Mononoke in the theater. Was it last week?
Was it subtitled or was it?
It was subtitled.
Was it? You know what? I
just thought it kept thinking of Zelda the whole time. It's very Zelda-esque.
You know what? I don't think I've ever watched it in the native Japanese. I've always just been stuck with the...
Well, the dub is really good.
It is.
Neil Gaiman helped write the dub of Princess Mononoke, so...
Okay, so I have a list of all of the games that weren't announced during the press release that is now...
The biggest one was Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, they really dropped the ball with not talking about that because it looks like it's Mario Kart with all of the DLC pre-added in.
And a couple extra, the Splatoon kids.
Splatoon kids, a couple extra tracks from Splatoon, and they've added battle mode back in.
Yeah, well, they're actually not tracks, they're battle mode stages.
I've heard they've added a couple tracks as well.
Oh, really? I heard they didn't add tracks.
Yeah, well, we'll have to find out.
Yeah.
We'll just have to play and find
out.
Two
nerds enter, one nerd leaves.
You know what? There were a couple more in the press release that we didn't talk about because no one remembers. Do you remember when they trotted that guy out from EA
to
talk about
FIFA?
Yeah. Dumb. Who wants FIFA?
The coolest part of that was seeing Bill Trennan from Nintendo translate into Japanese from English.
On the fly, yeah. Like, super great. Oh, the Fire Emblem Warriors.
Oh, God. I can't think of anything more boring than a Warriors game with Fire
Emblem
characters.
But it makes sense, doesn't it?
It makes too much sense to the point where it's not even interesting.
Yeah, that's true.
At least it's not Mushroom Kingdom Warriors.
I would rather have that because it would be weird and different.
Yeah. So here's a list of some of the larger titles that are going to be coming out that they didn't announce during the thing, but will be coming. There's the Binding of Isaac.
Binding of Isaac Afterbirth Plus.
Yeah, so that's coming. That's cool. I've actually been watching a little bit of that. That's kind of cool.
That's a great game, yeah.
Yeah. There's an untitled Blaze Blue, which is a fighting game.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's the Arc System title that I wish wasn't on the system because they have two major fighting games, Blaze Blue and Guilty Gear, and I wish it was Guilty Gear that was coming to the Switch. But oh well, I'll take what I can get. Let's see. There's a couple of Dragon Quest. 10 and 11 are both going to be ported over.
But we don't know. They haven't announced those in America yet.
But here's the thing. These systems aren't region locked. So true. You can beat not having a game released in your area now by throwing money at it.
Yeah, but then you still can't. You won't know what's going on unless you can read Japanese. But
or maybe they'll be developed natively with subtitle.
Maybe, who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Work for Shenmue 2, the European version that was on the Dreamcast.
Yeah. Let's see. There's a Has-Been Heroes, which is a roguelike strategy RPG.
I heard it's good, but
I've heard it's really good too.
I watched a video of it. It looks different.
Just Dance 17. Now that is a launch title.
There we go.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh boy, Ubisoft.
Waggle those wiggles.
Yep. There's Lego City Undercover, which makes me hopeful that Lego Dimensions will be announced sometime.
Lego City Undercover was rad.
Yeah.
It was a Wii U launch title.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, then that's just a straight up port then.
Yeah. But nobody played it because it was on the Wii U. So
it's new for us. Yeah.
It's also coming to PlayStation and Xbox, too. Yeah.
Another launch title, Puyo Puyo Tetris.
That looks rad. It's both Tetris and Puyo Pop played simultaneously.
That's cool. I don't know. I only know what one of those two things are.
Puyo Pop's the one with the blobs that match up. It was also released as Kirby's Avalanche and Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Oh, yeah, nice. Nice. Shovel Knight, of course. That's good. It's actually, Shovel Knight's the only one so far other than Breath of the Wild that has straight up said there is amiibo support, which makes me happy.
You don't say.
Yeah. Snipper Clips, the puzzle game.
I heard that's really good.
Yeah, where you're playing as two different people and you have to fit through a hole and you cut yourself down
It's a cooperative multiplayer thing where you're cutting out each shapes of each other.
Yeah, it's like there was like a TV game
hole
show.
Hole in the Wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was based off a Japanese game.
Yes. Stardew Valley, of course, that's coming. I think we talked about that
before. I still don't know why you would want to play that on not a computer.
Yeah, true. I don't know why either.
You want a mouse for that one.
Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
That's cool. I mean, Xenoblade's a cool series.
Yeah.
It'll probably get delayed 50 times.
Oh, probably. Oh, more than likely.
Like it does.
Yep. Oh, Ultra Street Fighter 2. I kind of want to talk about that. It's kind of a weird thing. They're taking the HD remix version of Street Fighter 2, which they did for the PlayStation and Xbox, which was horribly unbalanced.
Wasn't that bad?
Yeah, it was horribly unbalanced, and the art was not very good because all of the sprites were redrawn by Udon, the comic company. But they're taking that version of the game and added a few things to it. They're actually adding a setting where you can set everything back to 8 or 16-bit, so it'll look like Street Fighter 2, which is cool. They added a dramatic battle mode, which is a two-player co-op against a hard CPU opponent, although they're calling it Buddy Battles this time.
Buddy Battles.
Yeah. And they added two new characters, Evil Ryu, which has been a staple in a lot of the later Street Fighter games, and Violent Ken, who is the evil version of Ken.
Violent Ken.
Violent Ken, who has never made this is his first official canon appearance in...
Isn't that the name
Capcom.
Of one of the ICP guys?
I think so. Yeah.
Shaggy 2 Dope and Violent Ken.
Yeah, Ken Masters will come at you with the hatchet. No.
The terrible thing is, I know you're wrong.
There's actually a story behind Violent Ken. SNK and Capcom made a handful of versus games using both of their stable of fighters. And at one point, it was Capcom made a game, and then SNK made a game with their system, and they decided they didn't want to use Evil Ryu. They wanted to make their own evil version of a Capcom character. They made Violent Ken. He has never shown up in any Capcom-only game. This is the first appearance, like, in continuity, and the whole deal was instead of... Like, Ryu is...
Tainted
by the dark side of the Karate Force.
The
Ken, yeah.
The Karate Force.
Yeah.
It's literally what it is.
Yeah, oh, sure, yeah. Ken was captured by Bison and infused with psycho power. and just becomes like super evil. All it does is it powers up his uppercut and gives him a teleport move. That's all it is. But
and, you know he starts wearing darker clothes and listening to harder music.
Oh yeah, sure.
And the clown face paint.
The grease paint and the Faygo. Anyway, none of that was like announced during the press conference, and that's kind of a misstep.
Like there was a new Bomberman game.
Yeah,
there hasn't been a Bomberman game for which is a launch title. Time. Yeah, it is a launch title.
I mean, I don't care. It's Konami, and the hell with Konami. Yeah. But it's cool that that's
that Bomberman.
Ended. Yeah, but it's Konami.
And it looks good.
Yeah, but it's a good thing Konami is doing. So maybe you want to give them money for doing the good thing instead of the bad thing.
True, I guess. Although I bet there's a secret pachinko mode.
Probably.
Yeah.
You have to play the pachinko game to get to the actual Bomberman game.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It has, it's a pachinko Joy-Con that you have to snap onto the side of your screen.
There'll be a Metal Gear zombie themed level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't buy that game, but buy Bomberman if you're going to buy a Konami game.
Yeah. Anyway, this kind of leads me to a bigger discussion. Now, unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of time to discuss it, but there is not a lot for the launch of this system, and it's kind of a problem. There's already a lot of talk online of people who are immediately ready to hate on Nintendo and hate the Switch. And there are a lot of people online who think Nintendo should just go to third party and stop making systems, or should just stop making things, period.
Which I think the minute they stop making things for their own systems is the minute they stop being Nintendo.
I agree. The problem with this new launch is the system looks great. A lot of these games look good.
Battery life is pretty good, too.
Battery life isn't bad. The problem I see is because there's not a huge showing like right out of the gate, you're not going to get a whole bunch of people, as many people excited about buying the new system, which in turn will cause developers to look at it and go, wow, man, not a lot of people have bought the system. Maybe I won't develop my new game for it, which then causes more people to not want to buy the system. And it kind of becomes a snake eating its own tail.
And it becomes the Wii U all over again.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is, if everyone's decided the Switch is going to fail, then it'll fail. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you already have the preconceived idea that, oh, this system sucks, I'm not going to buy it, without giving it a shot, without trying it, without even testing it out for yourself at all, then you're pretty much condemning yourself. I mean, or...
I've seen a lot more people hype on it than not, though.
I've seen a lot of people not hype, be really down on it. Like, a
lot of news outlets were even kind of crapping on it.
Polygon hates it.
I've seen both ways on Polygon.
Really?
There's one of the writers wrote about how much they love it.
Yeah.
And how they're going to buy it day one.
It seems like everybody who loves it, the people who love it are the ones who have gotten to try it.
Yeah.
Like, they had a couple of demos after, one in New York and one in California, I think, something like that. And the people who are ready for the system are the ones who were able to get in and get hands-on access to it. So we'll just have to wait and see. We'll see how it goes. I'm sad that there's no Street Fighter. There's no...
Street Pass?
Well, that. But there's no Smash Brothers announced
so
far.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't at least port the last one over.
Yeah, unless they're working on... Because it was designed with the second screen in mind, maybe they're having a trouble converting it into a format that would work. Because that's the problem with a lot of the ports, I think, is that they all of a sudden have one less screen to work with.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a problem.
Also, can I just say, why do they still call it Mario Kart? Why don't they just call it, like, Smash Kart?
Because Mario Kart is the brand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's only been four outside characters.
Let's see. Link, Isabelle, Villager, Inkling Boy and Girl.
Five.
That's five. I wouldn't be surprised if down the road they put Kirby in on his air ride.
Star. Yeah, Star.
That would be
cool.
That would be cool.
I would almost argue that Donkey Kong is technically an outside character.
No, he's not. No, Donkey Kong's a Mario character.
Donkey Kong is more of a Mario character than Bowser is, if you think about it, because he was there before Bowser. Think about it.
Or is Mario a Donkey Kong character?
You could almost say that.
Sure. But I think because Mario is the hero, I think it becomes his game.
Yeah, he's only the hero until you get to Donkey Kong Jr.
That's true. He is the villain in Donkey Kong Jr.
Yeah. And that's if Mario Jumpman isn't Mario's father.
Yeah, that's right. That's very true.
I remember reading that theory, too.
That's a good theory. I like that theory.
A game theory.
Okay.
Thanks for watching.
We're done. Yep, we're done. Okay. We actually, believe it or not, we had a whole bunch of other news, but I think we got to wrap it up here. thanks for listening to our Switch special, as it kind of turned out to be. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
And then you can switch over to Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can tweet at us @nerd_overload and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV. I almost forgot what it was.
That's right. And we are also on iTunes and Stitcher. So go over there, check us out, listen to a bunch of back episodes.
There's a lot of them.
There are quite a few. There's almost 130 of them, believe it or not. So anyway, thanks again for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.